Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, where we do not substitute sense at halftime. This is the Sensible Football Podcast with me, Tariq, and joining this week again as usual is Karan.
Hey guys.
And Vishal.
Hola.
Alright, so big games this week, a lot of results to run through, but firstly must be said, a weekend of exciting, meaningful, lovely and great football, even from Chelsea. So we begin.
Somehow they managed to find a way
to make
sure
the podcast.
Yeah. Okay, but our focus is going to be on the really big results, and the really big results, as Vishal's greeting might have alerted you to, was the result at the El Clasico. Real Madrid 0, Barcelona 4. In a game where Barcelona could substitute Messi on when they were leading 3-0 at the 1-hour mark.
They were just showing off with that show.
Yeah.
And just trying to run the score up. The only thing Ronaldo did best throughout the night is probably sulk and grimace as Iniesta scored that third goal. Just what went wrong, Vishal?
Well, lots. One, Madrid. I don't know where Rafa Benitez. The one thing Rafa Benitez normally does do is set up to not lose there. But I think because of sheer pressure, he did bow down to the fans, but did bow down to media and put out his most attacking side out there. And he tried to match Barca player for player. What he forgot is Madrid cannot match Barca player for player because there's just too much class in the starting 11 for Barcelona, and they just passed their way through Madrid. And in the first 10 minutes, it was clearly established who was going to win this game if it was not obvious before the kickoff.
And in the first 10 minutes, if you had somebody like a Suarez who just needs one touch from the outside of his boot to give you the lead, I don't think you... So did that goal kind of demoralize Real Madrid? Or they fought back well? At the start of the second half, they were pretty terrific.
Well, they had to because they needed a response considering the reception that they got when they were leaving the field. But yeah, you could say that, you know, conceding so early definitely... you know, knock the stuffing out of them in many ways, because to start off with, you're not going to get much of the ball when you're playing against Barca, and when you actually need to now overturn a lead, it's going to make things that much more difficult for you.
And overturn a lead of 3-0 is...
And at a basic level, it was a clear difference between the good and the great yesterday.
Yeah.
Because the Benzemas, the Bales, all had their chances, but Barcelona technically almost scored up every chance they had, and if not scored, they made the goalkeeper save. If not, it was all on target. So this is exactly the difference you're talking about. For example, Bale was heading straight at Claudio Bravo and whatnot, but every chance, Suarez had two chances, two goals. Neymar had one chance, one goal, one set up, and it is just that. It was just a very efficient, very ruthless Barcelona who came to the table and took Madrid to school, basically.
And this tiny point, we'll probably look at the La Liga's bigger picture sometime later, because it's still relatively early days.
6 points ahead, though.
But they're still 6 points ahead, which in the La Liga kind of could mean end of the league kind of a scenario. But how big a difference has Neymar's transformation made, especially in this period when there has been no Messi?
So I was one of Neymar's biggest critics till late, and I think this season one thing he's gone about is a lot of the off field antics has stopped. He seems to have put his head down and started playing a lot of football, and he's always been great. There is no question about it. But now he's making that transformation to the levels of the Messis of the world, where he's just putting down and putting in performances game in and game out.
So would it be fair to say that Neymar has just simplified his game and focused finally on making an impact?
Yeah, you could say that, because there have been many occasions in the past where, you know, the ball at his feet just meant, you know, a lot of showboating, and then, you know, he would basically complicate things when all he had to do was just make a straightforward pass or just take a shot. But now he's actually simplified his game, like we said, and the results are there to see.
And I was very impressed with his interview Neymar gave, where it was one line he said. First season was about adjusting, second season was about learning, and third season is about implementing. And he's doing it.
And in fact, eliminating all distractions, including his hairstyle, as evidenced yesterday.
So, I think
the whole system, he's getting adjusted to the whole system that is Barcelona, where it is not about one player most times. Though they have a Lionel Messi, there are enough and more players to come and create an impact, which can be clearly seen that Messi
could have probably kept even Suarez and Neymar on the bench, one of them also on the bench along with Messi, Barca would have still won it.
For sure.
Okay, so Real sliding a little bit.
Real clearly lack leaders, clearly lack drive. It was just, for Christ's sake, this is the one big fixture you have every year, Rajan. You are going to waltz through the rest of the season anyway. The least you can do is rise for an El Clasico at home, and with so many fans cheering for you, I do not know how you can be so lackluster and so uninspired as a team.
And speaking of fans cheering for you, the opposite of that happened for Manchester City at the Etihad yesterday. So you all know the result, Liverpool 4, Manchester City 1. Huge, huge result for Klopp.
Yep.
But huge result generally for positive attacking football,
yep,
and one that puts Manchester City's title credentials in doubt,
yep,
again.
But it's a bit weird because, I mean, as we know, the way City started, you know, they started off as a house on fire. Then they had a couple of bad results, and then they picked up again. It's like, just when you think that City are basically stabilizing, they go and have a result like this. But taking nothing away from Liverpool, the first 30 minutes, they were absolutely out of this world. City just couldn't cope with what Liverpool were throwing at them. The speed, the accuracy of their passing, and the intricate nature with which they were playing was absolutely amazing. And City were just all over the place defensively.
So where is the Klopp signature in there, Vishal?
The speed of football. It was simple. So City had set up as City would normally do, but what they did not see is Klopp had set up Liverpool to not hold the ball for more than one touch and one pass. So every pass, one touch and pass and movement, and Firmino and Coutinho were absolutely brilliant. And this was allowed by the fact that there was an Emre Can who was sitting in front of the defence and cleaning up very well as well. So this allowed Liverpool to move so quickly, and which was so great to watch. And it was exactly like watching a Dortmund play. I think you could, remembering the Lewandowski's, the Roy's, the Gerts of Dortmund, and that's exactly what we saw yesterday, where every player was playing to their strength and every player was having fun on the football field, and it clearly showed. And City did not have an answer because City were not prepared. And I think Pellegrini lost the game the minute he decided to start with Di Michaelis and Mangala.
Yeah,
Di Michaelis and Mangala.
That's just an accident waiting to happen, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know why you pay 35 million if you can't start Otamendi on big games like this.
Far too slow, both of them, Di Michaelis and Mangala.
That's always been the case. I mean, Mangala is still up and coming, he still has time to improve, but Di Michaelis, throughout his time in Europe, I've been noticing since his days at Bayern Munich and Inter Milan, he's always been quite clumsy, and you can never basically have confidence in the fact that when the ball is at his feet, anything can happen.
And the interesting thing about Liverpool is, just before the international break, they lost to Crystal Palace, but we talked about that performance. We said that there was a performance that actually was impressive, because despite the loss,
agreed,
they were a positive team out
there. Exactly.
I
mean, yes, there are losses where you just have to put your hand up and say, the other team deserved it. But here it was one where there was a lot of positives actually come out of that particular defeat, because they did actually play well. They were a bit unlucky not to get a result.
And it was
that
a good Crystal Palace performance that they lost to.
So it was just two good teams who played that day, and one had to win.
Okay, and speaking of turning football exciting and making things suspenseful, Louis van Gaal and a 90th minute winner from United,
it's
something we had not seen
3 years
for a long
time.
Since
seen one of those.
Vishal, what do you make of the United performance and United's credentials now?
Okay, cool. So the performance, so United one came with a very depleted squad, and Herrera, as usual, created that great goal for Memphis, who I think, apart from the goal, was pretty rubbish, opposed to what a lot of people are saying. Again, wasteful, again, too many touches. But the overall team was effective. They were, again, efficient, as we spoke about in the previous episode. They're definitely being efficient. The defense is being good. De Gea with a couple of great saves. Silly penalty to give away, but that's okay. That's allowed. I think to concede a goal after 10 hours is still allowed.
Fought back well to get that win.
The heartwarming thing to see was immediately after conceding goals, United created 3 good chances in a matter of 2 minutes, and one of which converted.
And one of them was converted. So
my question is, obviously you're capable, but
why didn't you do it more often?
And United could have filled up this game far comfortably and sat on a 2-goal lead or 3-goal lead, but they chose to sit on a 1-goal lead. And against Watford, you might get away with it, but against a bigger club, you will not.
So
be
that
able to
that
do
is probably going to be tested when they face the biggest of the big clubs,
exactly. I mean,
and that will be Leicester City next week, who are currently
top of the table,
unbelievably the English Premier League. leaders. Yep. He tried to leave the table, but somehow Juventus are not wanting
Stop
to fall off this area. But so Vishal, Leicester City. We have spoken about Leicester City, Karan, in the early episodes. We know they what they're capable of. Next week they face off against United. Who would have thought that would be a top of the table clash?
If any of us actually said that, you know, Leicester would be top of the table by this time of the season, people, even our, you know, the people who are listening to the show would have thought we're crazy. But
yeah, I mean, even on a podcast like Soccer Sense,
exactly,
it would not have made sense. But just what is the secret sauce of Leicester? We ask again.
Simple. They haven't changed much since last season. With this season, Ranieri has come in. Hasn't really changed much. He's pretty much, you know, playing the same style that Nathan Pearson played, but also added a little bit of flair to it. And he's just giving players like Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy the freedom to go up there and just express themselves.
So they seem to be absolutely enjoying the football.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. That's
so,
the key.
You see, a very similar characteristic between Jurgen Klopp and Claudio Ranieri. They're just letting players have fun. They're letting players play to their strength. So Jurgen Klopp is not being a masterclass here by any sense of the word. He's making players work hard for sure, but at the same time he's letting a Firmino, he's letting a Coutinho play to their strength. It's the Brazilian Samba that we saw yesterday, and any Brazilian would have watched that and would be like, that's what Brazilians do. And even Dunga would have been like, why aren't they doing that for my team? Which is exactly what a good manager does. He does not fix what's not broken.
Yeah, in fact, Klopp said that he tried to put out players out there who had trained together the most.
Exactly.
So he's very specific about it.
So Ranieri is doing the same thing. There was nothing really broken about this Leicester squad. That's a squad who's got each other's back. So he said, go continue doing that. But at the same time, use your strength, which is pace. You were not using it as much last season, but let's use it this season. And I kid you not, if they bring on the same pace against United, they will struggle because United do not have the pace to cope with Leicester. And if you remember, Leicester, while they were at the bottom of the table last season, beat us 5-3.
So it's rather amazing that basically what we saw yesterday and this weekend of football was a testament to what football can be when it's played well.
It is a simple
well,
game
when
at a very basic
played,
level.
Yeah. When it's played attacking,
and Leicester
are you're quoting Bill Shankly there.
Yeah.
So. Fair enough. So that's the thing. So what I've learned from this week is that, you know, you play attacking, exciting football. It's always a joy to watch.
Yeah.
In fact, we've hardly talked about tables, positions, tactics, things like that, because, you know, the football was so transcendent, it did not matter.
Exactly.
All right. So that brings us to an end of this week's show. We'll be bringing that big game, Leicester versus United, and an analysis of a lot of others next week meet. In the meantime, this is Tariq signing off from Soccer Sense along with Karan.
See you guys.
And Vishal.
Keep praying for United, people.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. Coda riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist Coda customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at coda.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.